Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. When I read this morning's text from Ecclesiastes, I was reminded of a book I came across in a second-hand book barn entitled A Life Worth Living. It was a biography of an Australian business tycoon. Big smiling picture of his face on the cover. And it told the story of his rise to wealth. How he worked hard. How he gained achievements. It talked about his genius for making deals. For his daring and courage. And his passion for new projects and opportunities, and how he had earned great admiration and personal glory. But as I paged through that book, getting towards the back, I found that the book also told a different story, a story of his personal tragedy, of his wife's suicide, and of his dramatic fall from glory when he overreached financially into dishonest dealing and was convicted of fraud and found himself in prison, publicly disgraced and bankrupt. He died in 2015. Ironically, his heart, the doctors said, was worn out. Was that true to title of the book, A Life Worth Living? Where did it end? What did it mean? Well, I think of the preacher in Ecclesiastes. He says, vanity of vanity. Or to be more faithful to the original Hebrew text, mist and wind. It's all gone in a moment. There are plenty of stories like it, of course. You only have to watch the daily news cycle to see the same meaningless pattern repeating itself again and again, as the great media stars and billionaires and media idols all vie with one another. And as they try to make their mark on the world, and they find, in the end, that the world leaves its mark on them. One journalist I was reading recently noted that if you watch the rise and fall of these great media giants over these last decades, you see the same pattern again and again. First of all, they set their hearts on money. And money enables them to buy all the pleasures and the toys they could possibly desire. But what happens is, after a while, the money and the toys just don't give you the same thrill. What happens then? Well, they realise by watching others, they think, well, what I really want is power. And so they gain power. And they begin to influence even policies and public affairs. They begin to become vocal. And they begin to do all sorts of things that gain them power over others. So they think. But after a while, you know what happens? Is they realise that power and control over other people is a complete illusion. It's not really there at all. At this point, sometimes what happens is that they have, if they haven't become too bitter, they have a life-changing insight. They say, aha, it's not all about me. Perhaps I can fulfill my life and do something meaningful. I can make my life worth living if I become a philanthropist, if I give my money away to other people, if I make a difference. And so they give their billions to international organisations for all kinds of charities, health research, education, you name it. Often though, despite these good intentions, this too proves to be a disappointment. Because often these causes turn out to be ingenuine. They turn out not to be as beneficial to people as they'd hoped, and may even be corrupt too. And as with everything else on earth, it leaves the philanthropist himself feeling that all of his wealth, all of his achievements, everything he's been able to do, his good works, the end, all of that in the end really counts for nothing. As the preacher says, it's all vanity. The end of his glory, the end of his life, the end of all earthly things. And he asks himself, what does it all mean? Who am I? What am I here for? It's all vanity, just mist and wind, gone and forgotten. A life worth living? The preacher of Ecclesiastes says, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, a chasing after the wind. Now, you and I may not be media giants or billionaires, but I'd suggest to you that in each one of us, in our own limited way, we act out that same drama, that same script in our lives. We may not be so ambitious, so wealthy, or so powerful, but we are still tempted to set our minds on earthly things, to search here in this world for fulfillment, for truth. Achieving something in life is important, right? Having a good work ethic is good, yes. It's good to be practical, it's good to be down to earth, able to get things done. Financial security, reputation, success, service to the community, recognition. But I am guessing that there are some among you in this congregation today who have been reminded that all these earthly things, everything, good as these things are in themselves, cannot and do not last. They may be blown away in a moment. They cannot give your life any real value or lasting meaning or security. And they cannot help you face that last end that we all have to face, our dying. Remember the fool in the parable. He says, at last I can finally rest secure in my possessions. Nope. No rest and security there. Nothing in this earth will give you that. Your grave is waiting. Please step this way. All is mist. All is vanity. It can dissipate in a second, and it often does. Is this kind of life worth living? Of course not. Sorry, says the preacher, it's all useless, it's all pointless. We could think, well, this is a very negative view of life. This preacher is pretty down on the world, isn't he? Yes, it is a dark picture he paints. You could even say, well, this is rather hopeless, rather depressing. But if we want to know the truth, that is truth that lasts, if we want to have real security, If we want to find real life, then we need to face the dark facts about this world and about our own lives. We need to face it in order to turn away from it. In today's reading from Colossians 3, Paul tells us the same truth in different words. Life, he says, is not to be found in those things which are on earth, below. It is to be found in those things which are above, which are in heaven. The way to know fulfillment, security, joy, and peace is not in anything that we can get or achieve or do. It is not about our work ethic or our level of effort. The way to find true peace in your life is not down to earth, but up to heaven. Set your minds, Paul says, on the things that are above, on heavenly things. What does he mean? What heavenly things is he talking about? Well, he talks about three important and beautiful truths here in this reading, these three heavenly things for us to set our minds on. Let's look at the three of them now. Number one, in verses 1-3, Paul says something very striking. He says, "You have died and you have been raised with Christ." Now, if you've read Paul's letters a little bit, you may well know and recognize this kind of dying, rising language and what he's talking about. He is talking about a specific event, a specific moment in our lives when we, our old earthly self, our old Adam and Eve, dies and a new being is raised. And of course, that moment is holy baptism. This is Paul's baptismal teaching. If you go back to Colossians chapter 2, you'll find he talks a lot about baptism there because he's introducing what he says here in chapter 3. Life, true life, true fulfillment, true security starts right there. Now, I believe there's a little new person in this congregation, little Tucker. Tucker, you have a date with your destiny. You have a date with your Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to bring you into the kingdom and give you life and security that will never end. Isn't that fantastic? I hope you're all here to witness it. I won't be, unfortunately. Somebody will have to send me a picture. Holy baptism. This is not a life that we make worth living. This is a life that Jesus makes worth dying. Baptism is dying and rising. It's powerful. It's mysterious. It's hidden. But it's very, very real. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and there's a dribble of water. But those words, together with that water, are effective and strong. They change your future. They change you forever. Because God is active through those words. The Holy Spirit is working. He is changing your direction, your heart, your mind. He is changing your very identity. After baptism, we are no longer the same person. Not at all. The old sinner has died and a new creature has risen up with Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins, past, present, and future. The benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection become ours personally. We receive eternal life, a new heart, a new mind, a new will, all gifts from God's pure grace. And as we live in this baptism day after day, and as we come to divine service, as we receive and believe this word, as we receive and believe and trust in Jesus, as he comes to us with his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, this heavenly life, these heavenly things become ours in a stronger and stronger and deeper, deeper way. We are renewed and strengthened in our baptismal life. Set your minds on heavenly things. They are not mist and wind. They remain and they last forever. Secondly, Paul says in verse 4, when Christ appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Throughout our lives, the world and our own flesh and the devil himself make us long for our own glory, for our own sense of worth. We need to show that we matter. We need to show that we have things that are worthwhile, that we are good people, that we have abilities, that we can succeed, that we deserve love. We need to show that we can live a life worth living or die trying to do that. Jesus changes all that. He sets us free from our quest for glory. Because you and I can never live a life that is worth living. We are sinful, broken people. And everything we do is tainted with that. Every time we try to fix this, we rise and rise above it, we just make things worse. But remember what Paul says in the verse before this. You have died. You have died that death worth dying because it brings to you a life that will never end. As Christ's own baptized child, you are raised a new creature. You are, Paul says, listen to these beautiful words in verse 3. Hidden in God with Christ. What has happened? God the Father has taken you and hidden you inside his own heart, along with his own beloved Son. All because of what Jesus has done for you. That is to be God's dear child. That is your worth. That is your true glory. That is your true value. Not that the world values you, but that God loves you and values you. What could be greater glory than that? That's why you're here. And that's why Jesus died and rose for you. You do not need to manufacture your own glory because you share in a greater glory, the glory of Christ. I notice on top of your altar there's a crown. The crown is over the cross. Beautiful symbolism. Meditate on that when you come to the Lord's Supper today. When he appears on the last day, he'll be wearing a crown of glory, and so will you. And you will appear with him and you will share his glory. The glory that only God can give you. As Paul says back in verse 1, in baptism we are raised with Christ and we are with Christ as he sits at God's right hand in glory. So this is not vanity. This is not mist. This is the eternal glory of God. It is at work in you even now. Every day. This is the second heavenly thing which Paul gives you to set your heart on in this text. Number 3. Paul calls us into living in this baptized life as reborn people who share in the glory of Christ. The way Paul expresses this here in this reading, as you reread it, shows us that we are no longer merely ourselves, but we are people in Christ. When you read Paul's letters, you find this word, this little expression everywhere, in Christ. We are more ourselves than we can ever be in this world when we are in Christ. We are part of Him, and He is all of us. He has given us each a self which shares in His self. We are alive not with our own life anymore, but with His life. We are driven not by our own desires and our own wishes and purposes, but by His desires and wishes. We are not pursuing our own will, but His will. We are not fired with our own love anymore, but with love from above, love from Him. In verses 5 to 11, Paul talks about the things then that we need to leave behind. The earthbound things, the things that are below, the things that we fall into when we try to live our life and make it worth living. We seek after pleasure and anger, we indulge in greed and hatred and pride. We follow our old nature, grasping for something real and true in this world, and finding only mist and vanity. All that is gone, and we leave it behind. We thought that old life was worth living, but we were wrong. It had to die in Christ and rise in Christ. Because then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. You have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Amen.